in the harvest that is ripe and needed to be harvested. He reminded them that God's kingdom is near. And now Joanne's going to share, and we're going to go back and forth here.
The year 1973. I know, half of you weren't born yet. Called to be a minister. We were dating, still getting to know each other. Two different denominations, both very dedicated to our own personal churches. Not sure I thought this was such a wonderful idea. And hearing from God back then was not part of my life at that time. So I decided, I guess we'll just go with it. Phone call at 11 p.m. at night confirmed the dreaded, but supposed to be amazing news, Glenn is the new minister at the Cacalico Church of the Brethren. This was supposed to be a call straight from God. I was not so sure. Considering my age of 19 and my spiritual journey to that point, I tried to trust and submit and allow God to work. I had no clue where this would take us.
This was a special year in my life. Prior to this particular call, there was a three-month prayer time to prepare for the calling of a person to the ministry. I was feeling the Holy Spirit nudging me into this call. On my way to church that particular evening, my mother asked me who I was planning to vote for. That put me on the spot, as I personally was feeling the tug of the Holy Spirit on my life. The vote was taken, and I accepted, and a vote of blessing and encouragement followed my acceptance of the call. You take notice, that evening it all happened. It wasn't 5, 6, 7 months. Okay, that's all script too. I was now embarking on the process of learning, growing, embracing what the Lord had for me in this season of life. Now, there's one other thing that took place after this. We were married in August of 1974. Joanne goes on.
The life of pastor's wife for the next 35 years brought challenges, opportunities, and times of real spiritual growth. Raising three daughters under the influence of church leadership left me at times frustrated and discouraged. But in the end, when we left the church after 35 years of ministry, with a well-done, faithful servant, our calling was fulfilled, and we were moving on to the next chapter of our life. I had a spiritual mentor all those years that spoke into my life and allowed me to share both joys and frustrations. I will be forever grateful for her influence on my life.
Serving in the ministry has allowed me to share my gifts in various ways. And the verse was shared already this morning, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. There are plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. What I'd like you to do today is read that verse to yourself. Read that verse to yourself. Ephesians 2:10. It is God himself who has made us, and we are given us It is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others.
The year 1980. Called to Jackson, Mississippi to be house parents to a group of eight young adults, all serving with Voice of Calvary, a Christian community development funded by John Perkins. Sounds adventuresome and a bit scary. Glenn was recovering from cancer treatments. We were going to live in the city. Not sure about that. We were going to be away from home for a year, living with eight people we don't even know. Lots of responsibility. We would be totally out of our comfort zone. The tug on our heart was strong. I felt totally unqualified. And just to be sure, I reminded God that there were some obstacles. We owned our house, and we would need someone to live in it for a year. Who does that? Our van that was to be our transportation for 1 year needed major repairs to the tune of $500, and we had no money to pay for that repair. And our precious two-year-old would never survive away from grandparents. Remember, this is 1980. There was no FaceTime and emails, but we said yes. We had lots of support from church family and friends, and God came through with someone paying the garage bill. Our house was rented at the 11th hour. And the grandparents assured us that they would write every week. After 3 weeks of training, I guess that was supposed to fully prepare us for what was ahead. We loaded our stuff and eight young adults and headed to Jackson, Mississippi. I think we thought that we were going to save the world, and everybody in Jackson, Mississippi would want our Jesus. We had a lot to learn.
Doors open with lots of new experiences as we worked in a different culture. My life was changed in how I thought about other cultures. I was responsible to deal with volunteer groups helping in the ministry of Voice of Calvary. There were groups from across the states and across the countries, that I had to deal with and interact with. But my life was greatly enriched with these interactions. Of course, we did have work to do, but relationships were important to be nurtured. God used my carpenter skills to help in many situations. Some days, as a father figure of eight, just to give you a little more detail, it was six guys and two girls in our family unit that brought new challenges as we meshed opinions, skill sets, and a wide range of personalities. I say a wide range, from about 17 to 22, age-wise. The phrase, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good, became relevant because there were times on Monday nights we had rap sessions to sit down and talk and discuss because we needed to communicate.
This year brought lots of challenges and inspiration for me also. Living in Jackson, Mississippi opened up our hearts to embracing different cultures, which for me was just a whole new world. We developed a love for the underprivileged. We felt empowered as we worshiped with the Black community and learned that it was okay to get excited about worship. Time took on a different meaning as this culture did not do German worth ethic. And then there was the eight young adults. Their preferences, their biblical interpretations, their street evangelism, and lots more of all these things brought our faith to the testing point and stretched us in ways, in new ways of looking at things and responding. God was alive and well, and we continue to walk with him and grow in our desire to follow and trust him. This fly.
Yeah.
The year 1997, leaving district conference when Kobe's gave their compelling message on fostering, Glenn and I immediately felt the conviction to step out in faith and answer the call. Again, this was a big step of faith. I begged God while taking my daily walks to give us just the right child that our family of five could adapt to. I reminded him that adjusting to difficult situations was not my strong point. This new calling brought lots of excitement and anticipation for all of us. God came through in ways that we could never have imagined. Foster care became part of our life for the next approximately 12 years.
1997, Anna Roman, who some of you know, Anna Quinones, came into our lives and still in our lives. Also, 1997, I was called, felt called, through the voters of the Effort Area School District to join school board. Providing foster care to hurting children has lots of opportunities for loving, listening, leaning on Jesus for wisdom. Another dynamic when you have foster children is you get sometimes to meet their parents, building relationships with them, always providing another avenue to show the love of Christ. Those visits sometimes came weekly, so you got to see them. We had opportunities to show Jesus to many children and to help them understand his love for them.
The year 2001. Will the phone ever stop ringing? God, I would like to take a break and just rest, do nothing. I think I fulfilled my calling to go into all the ends of the earth. I was sure my Judeas and my Jerusalems were met and done. But wait, there is more. The lady on the other end of the phone said that there was a high school boy from Germany in the foreign exchange program that needed to be removed from his home, and would we be willing to take him for the last half of his senior year? Now that was a challenge. First of all, we don't do boys, we just do girls. And yes, Deanna, he would be in your grade at Effort High School and probably will need a ride in your car every morning. He sure isn't gonna ride the bus if you don't. She wasn't sure she wanted to tag along. Again, saying no did not seem an option. And thus, Mirko moved in, and as a family, we got to know him. He taught us, as our first exchange students, many valuable lessons. He encouraged us to eat raw eggs and told us they were not only delicious, but they were good for you. He swore at Deanna when mad at her and disagreed on departure times for school. course, swearing was usually in German, so we could only imagine what he was saying. He inspired us to learn about other cultures and not to judge, share Jesus with him, and be kind when tension was at its limit. To this day, Deanna is friends with Mirko on Facebook and visited him in Germany. It's called Planting Seeds.
Hosting exchange students in our home brought lots of time when I would sit down and converse with them on various subjects, from showing them the garden that we had, as far as also living, and some of them would talk about living in the woods, to discussing politics and talking about God. Many miles on the road, transporting students to various school and social activities. Social activities gave us lots of time for sharing. Again, we were exposed and encouraged to taste a variety of ethnic foods. I did that a little better than this one. But sometimes it was that hot that they couldn't even eat their food, so I knew it was hot. This began our reaching out to exchange students for the next 15 years. God again came through and placed in our hearts a passion for students studying abroad that needed a place, stable place to live and a family to relate to.
That's a snippet of different places God has sent us. Being sent comes in a variety of ways and situations for all people. For many years, I wanted to compare my sent with other people sent. That only left me frustrated, bewildered, and discontent. I have learned to embrace the story that God is writing for us, and every day opens up with new opportunities.
I'm going to share scripture from Matthew 25, 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous ones will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show your hospitality, or naked and gave you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." The kingdom of God is at your doorstep. What are you doing with it? How are you going to handle that? At this time, we're going to have a closing song, and that's going to be played for us. "Go Light Your World" by Chris Rice.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning and some dark and cold. And there is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle and makes his home. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle your candle and go light your way. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. So carry your candle and run to the darkness, seek out the lonely, the tired and whose hearts are blazing. So let's raise our candles and light up the sky, praying to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in darkest times.
Let's pray. God of grace and God of glory, we come this morning thanking you for the privilege of worship. Thank you, Father, for each part of the body here this morning and the function of this body through all the activities, through all the music, through all the preparation, Lord. And I just want to thank you, Holy Spirit, this morning for the way in which you knitted this all together for your glory. Go with us now as we leave this place, Father. Help us to take you, Jesus, with us. Speak through us and initiate your love as we meet others throughout this week and throughout our lives until you return for us to take us home to be with you in glory land. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Go in peace.